إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الكلام كتاب الله عز وجل، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة دلالة، وكل دلالة في النار. وبعد، we'll begin as always by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, acknowledging He is the one that we worship, He is the one that we seek forgiveness from, He is the one that we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own souls and the evil of our own actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is none to mislead him. And whoever is misled, none can guide him except Allah alone. And I testify that there is none worthy of worship except Allah alone who has no partners. And I testify that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. After that, the best speech is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad alayhi as-salatu was-salam. And the worst of all new matters are the newly invented matters in worship. And every newly invented matter in worship is a bid'ah, innovation. And all bid'ah is misguidance, and all misguidance leads to the hellfire. Amma ba'd. We welcome the dear brothers and sisters again from the book Durus at-Tarbawiyya min Shahr Ramadan. And lesson 3 is about another aspect of tarbiyah, which is very, very important, just like all the other aspects of tarbiyah and development, the Muslim development, Islamic development. And this one is about the implementation of taqwa, tahqiq al-taqwa. And this is a very important matter. And these durus are very important in our development. Tarbiyah is something that we all require and need. Our Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani, rahimahullah, for a very long time had been promoting a factor, an aspect, a very important da'wah, which he used to call at-tasfiyah wa tarbiyah. Tasfiyah, which was the purification of the texts of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ and the narrations of the Salaf from what people had entered into it, like for weak hadith, fabricated hadith, stories, and these type of things. So he did a great job, by Allah's permission, in tasfiyah, purification of the texts. Then he said, tasfiyah wa tarbiyah. And the tarbiyah was that Islamic development, that training that people needed to keep upon the authentic way, to stay upon that foundation of that purified text of the Kitab and the Sunnah, the way of the Salaf. So tasfiyah wa tarbiyah is a very important matter. And the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala used to say that it will take a whole generation of scholars to give the people the tarbiyah that they need to develop them to be strong and firm upon the foundations of the Kitab and the Sunnah. So our Shaykh Muhammad, he says, from the Durus Azima, the great lessons, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in his noble book, is that the aim of fasting is tahqiq al-taqwa lillah jalla wa ala. That is to implement the taqwa of Allah jalla wa ala. That the aim of fasting is to implement this taqwa. Taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal has a great significance, the Shaykh says. وغايةٌ جليلةٌ, a magnificent aim, وحكمةٌ عظيمة, and a great wisdom. So fasting, sorry, taqwa, a great significance, a magnificent aim, and a great wisdom. And he says, fasting is from the greatest means for taqwa. Fasting is from the greatest means for taqwa, purification of the soul, and its rectification. Very beautiful words that our Sheikh is talking and mentioning, that fasting is the greatest means for taqwa, that fasting will help our taqwa. Fasting, when a person keeps away from food and drink, and he's aware, he's conscious that he's doing this for Allah's sake. So when he sees food, he keeps away from it. Sees drink, he keeps away from it. This is him doing it for Allah's sake, so he realizes he's implementing taqwa. Purification of the soul and its rectification. Because these matters drill into a person this purification that he's doing things for Allah's sake, this secret that only Allah knows between him and his slave, and he's purifying the soul and it's rectifying it at the same time. So taqwa, as has been mentioned, and one of the definitions for taqwa was by Talq ibn Habib, rahimahullah, who died around 100 al-Hijrah. He said, taqwa is that you act upon obedience to Allah. You act upon obedience to Allah, upon the light from Allah, from nur from Allah. Taqwa is that you act upon obedience to Allah, upon light, nur from Allah. That's the first part of the phrase, the definition that he used. He said, taqwa is that you act upon obedience to Allah, upon light, nur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? And we know, generally speaking, that whenever Allah, the Salaf used to mention the word nur, light, it meant knowledge. Yeah? Taqwa is that you act upon obedience to Allah. How do you have obedience to Allah? You have to have it with light, nur, which is the actual knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down. Why do we fast? Because Allah orders us. Where's the ayah? This is the ayah. This is the hadith. So we have knowledge of this. So we act upon the obedience to Allah. He said, Talq ibn Habib, hoping for the reward from Allah. Okay? Taqwa, how is taqwa based? You know, because taqwa, a lot of people, they translate it as piety or fearing Allah or these type of matters. So taqwa is that you act upon obedience to Allah, upon light from Allah, hoping for the reward from Allah, and that you leave disobedience to Allah. So this is also taqwa. Taqwa has two sides to it. Obedience and leaving off disobedience to Allah. Leaving off sinning to Allah. That you leave disobedience to Allah upon light from Allah, from nur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing those things that you have to keep away from. And all that fearing the punishment of Allah. And this definition you can find in by Ibn Rajab in Jami' al-Ulum, and also in Sirah al-A'lam al-Nubala. And in Sirah al-A'lam al-Nubala, Imam Zahabi commented on this saying, on this definition. He said, There is no taqwa except by performing actions. And there are no actions except by becoming enriched with knowledge and following the messenger. And none of that is beneficial except with having ikhlas, sincerity for Allah. Beautiful explanation to put it into context, this definition of taqwa. So there can be no taqwa except by performing actions. We have to do good actions to have taqwa. A person can't just say, I am pious. Or a person says, I fear Allah. And they're not doing righteous actions. And a person cannot do actions except that they become enriched with knowledge.
العلم قبل العمل. Knowledge before action. And that is by following the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he is the one who taught us how to do good action. He is the one that we return to and follow and emulate. He is the one that we copy. Not like these Sufi Ash'ari people who dance around in the masjid. They dance and sing songs in the masjid thinking that they will come closer to Allah, and they think that this is taqwa and this is piety. This is a deception from the shaitan, and he's played with their intellects and he's led them astray. And following the messenger. And none of that is beneficial except with having ikhlas, sincerity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Imam Dhahabi continues, he said, taqwa is not so that someone can say, so-and-so leaves off sinning with the light of nur of understanding. Taqwa is not that someone can say, so-and-so leaves off sinning. It's not about talking, and it's not about showing off or anything like that. It's about having sincerity. Since one needs to have knowledge of sin to be able to keep away from it. So we find these people, they claim, they say, I'm pious. And yet they're doing all the haram things on the planet. They say, I'm pious. And they don't fear Allah. And they don't put Allah first. They don't sacrifice for Allah. They say they're pious. Since one needs to have knowledge of sin to be able to keep away from it. And that leaving off sinning is done due to fearing Allah. And not so that one can be praised for leaving it. So whoever is continuous upon this advice is successful. And this is the statement and explanation of the ta'rif, the definition for taqwa. Then our Sheikh Muhammad al-Ghalib, he says, فَمَنْ سَابَ لِلَّهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ إِمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا. Right? So whoever fasted for the sake of Allah, the most magnificent, the most high, with iman and seeking a reward, what is the result? Then his soul becomes rectified. His soul becomes rectified. It becomes correct. His soul can control because he's fasted. He's kept away. He's had that control from keeping away from certain things. He's had that training, that development to keep away from certain things. So he fasts with iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking a reward. Seeking a reward, then his soul becomes rectified. And this is what the Shaykh is mentioning, is actually taken from a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I had the hadith from Abu Huraira radhiallahu anhu, which is mentioned in Bukhari, Muslim, and all the main books of hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Waman saama Ramadan," and whoever fasted Ramadan, imanan wa ihtisaban, yani with iman and seeking a reward, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi. Then he's forgiven his previous sins. Whoever fasts Ramadan due to iman and seeking a reward, then he's forgiven his previous sins. Al-Khattabi rahimullah mentioned that the meaning of what the Prophet said, iman and ihtisaban, having iman and seeking a reward, means having the intention and a strong resolve. The intention and the strong resolve, which is to fast Ramadan with certainty and desiring a reward for it. Then our Shaykh, he goes on to mention, he says that, yes, a soul, person's souls becomes rectified and it is distanced from despicable deeds, from sins and from deficiency regarding the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the benefit of fasting, that it gives us this taqwa, gives us this awareness, this acknowledgement that we have to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keep away from being disobedient to Allah. And with that, our soul becomes rectified. our deeds become better because we're keeping away from haram deeds and bad deeds. So we go from strength to strength every Ramadan. Every fast, we go from strength to strength. Then the Sheikh says, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqoon. Oh, you who believe, observe fasting. Oh, you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may become al-muttaqeen, the pious. This is the ayah. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us with. He ordered us to fast, and like the people before us had to fast, and the reason being is that we become muttaqeen, fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pious, and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then our Shaykh brings a tafsir of this ayah by the great Alama, the great scholar Imam Sa'di rahimullah ta'ala rahmatun wasi'ah. He is Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di, who died in the year 1376 al-Hijrah, and he was the Shaykh of Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimullah. And he has a wonderful book in tafsir where it explains that the tafsir of the Qur'an, and is widely available and widely respected tafsir book. He said, Imam Sa'di rahimullah said, this means that fasting can be a means for you to achieve taqwa. And by fasting you become min al-muttaqeen, that you become from the pious. And then our Shaykh goes on to mention, Shaykh Muhammad, وذلك أن التقوى اسم جامع. He said this is because taqwa, this word taqwa, is a phrase which is a comprehensive term. لكل ما يحب الله ويرضى. For everything which Allah loves and is pleased with. And those deeds which are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. And leaving off that which Allah and His Messenger dislike. And this is the same ta'rif, the definition for ibadah, for worship. This is the same definition that the scholars use for worship. Then Imam Sa'di continues, he says, فَالصِّيَامُ هُوَ الطَّرِيقُ الْأَعْظَمُ. Fasting is the greatest path لِحَصُولِ هَذِهِ الْغَايَةِ الْجَلِيلَةِ, to achieve this magnificent aim, which leads a worshipper to delight and success. فَإِنَّ السَّائِمْ يَتَكَرَّبِ اللَّهُ بِتَرْكْ مَا تَشْتَهِي نَفْسُهُ. The fasting person comes closer to Allah by leaving that which his own soul desires of food and drink, and that what follows on from that. He leaves all this for the precedence of the love for Allah, above that what a person loves for his own self. So see how much a person sacrifices when they're fasting. And they do it for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine the days in the summer when the days are long and the heat is so much and the person is so thirsty and hungry that they even feel some pain in their stomach, feel some pain in their body due to that hunger and thirst. But they're doing it for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then our Shaykh Muhammad, he says, taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jalla is from the greatest lessons that a worshipper benefits from. Taqwa of Allah is worship of Allah upon light from Allah, upon knowledge and understanding. The person hopes that by doing so, he will get a reward from Allah. And taqwa is also leaving disobedience to Allah upon light from Allah, fearing by it the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what is taqwa, and this is the matter which is required from the worshipper. This is why, the Shaykh says, this is why Allah Jalla wa Ala says a lot in his book, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ittaqullah. O you who believe, fear Allah. You know, keep your duty to Allah and fear Allah. And again, Allah mentions it as taqwa, by keeping away from that which will occur on the final day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And be afraid of the day when you shall be brought back to Allah. So the Shaykh is mentioning these ayat, Shaykh Muhammad, mentioning this ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions of having the fear of him, having taqwa of him a lot in the Quran. The Shaykh says, Allah Jalla wa Ala orders with having taqwa a lot. This is because taqwa is a great level from the levels of servitude of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's from that great status of servitude, ubudiyya lillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being a slave to Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the master, the possessor of everything. He is the one that you're a slave to. And that's a great status when you have this taqwa. And this is all developed through fasting this month of Ramadan and keeping away from that which is haram and doing those things which Allah loves. This word, the plural form, ittaqu, has been mentioned more than 80 times in the Quran. It's been mentioned so many times in the Quran. And this is something, this fear of Allah, of this taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is something that which we've been ordered to have in open and in secret. Have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the open and in secret. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in an authentic hadith narrated by Tirmidhi and is graded Sahih or Hasan by Shaykh al-Albani. It's a famous hadith in the hadith in Arba'in al-Nawawiyyah, and many companions narrated this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ittaqullah haythuma kunta. Fear Allah, or have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. Wherever you are. Okay, so having this taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it can really come to light when a person does it in secret. When a person does it in secret, and fasting is one of those things. Fasting is a secret between the person and his Lord. Then our Shaykh Muhammad goes on to mention, فالعبد إذا وفق لهذه منزلة, that if when the worshipper is blessed with this level and status, and he has benefited from this great level, this martaba, this great status in this month, then it is an aid for him in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and being continuous in that. Therefore, the result of that is, by Allah's permission, is acceptance of good deeds. Subhanallah, you know, when we're worried about will Allah accept our good deeds from us? Will Allah accept our good deeds from us? Yeah. When we're upon that, continuous upon that taqwa, the Shaykh says, this is what every worshipper has a longing for. Since the worshipper carries the concern of the acceptance of worship by Allah. Since the matter of acceptance is a great matter. Yani, will Allah accept our good deeds? And this is something which keeps the believer going. It keeps the believer active. It keeps the believer having the shahat, being active and doing good deeds, continuous. Because he doesn't know if Allah will accept his good deeds. The Shaykh says, perhaps a person becomes active and he has the concern for fulfilling a certain worship. But what remains is looking into, will Allah accept, is looking into Allah Azza wa Jalla accepting his actions. Allah Jalla wa Ala does not accept actions except from the pious. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Indeed, verily, Allah accepts only from those who are muttaqeen. Allah only accepts from the pious. The Shaykh says, therefore, the people of taqwa are those from whom Allah Azza wa Jalla accepts the good deeds. That's why fasting, yani لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that perhaps you will become pious or have taqwa, and that you'll be from the muttaqeen, and then Allah will accept your good deeds. So, there are many things which are connected to taqwa and the tarbiyah that a person needs. There are many other aspects as well. Okay, we find this in a hadith which has been collected by Ibn Hibban rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of hadith. And Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah graded this hadith Hassan in his book Silsila Sahiha. And it's a long hadith where Musa alayhi salam asked his Lord about six characteristics. And the last character, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned with this, he said, satisfaction is not that which is apparent. Satisfaction is not that which is apparent. Indeed, satisfaction is satisfaction of the soul. The soul being content, the soul being enriched in itself. The Prophet said, if Allah intends good for his slave, then he places satisfaction in his soul and his taqwa in his heart. Allah places taqwa in his heart. So when we have sincerity, when we do these actions, we have sincerity based upon knowledge, Allah puts this taqwa where we have satisfaction. Allah puts this piety, this taqwa in our hearts. And if Allah intends evil for a slave, then he places poverty wherever he turns. So satisfaction, being satisfied with what Allah has given us, is a means for the satisfaction of our soul and piety, taqwa in our heart. So in the same way, when we're fasting, we're satisfied with what Allah has given us. We're satisfied with what Allah has given us. Oh, it's a bit hard. It's difficult. It's hardship. Yes. But we push ourselves. We strive. We strive to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by keeping away from these things. And Allah enriches us. Then the Shaykh says, how can the worshipper actualize or practice or put into place taqwa? How can he actually do this? And these questions have been answered by our great scholars, Sheikh bin Baz rahimullah, and great other great scholars as well. Our Sheikh Muhammad, he says, how can the worshipper know that Allah Jalla wa Ula has given him success to reach this level? So he answers it, and this is the same answer that our Sheikh bin Baz gave. When the worshipper knows about himself, when the worshipper knows about himself that he has left off the haram actions and knows, acknowledges about himself of obedience from fulfilling obligatory deeds and recommended ones, he knows that he's kept away from haram, he knows he's carrying out the good deeds, then he should know that he is upon the easy level of taqwa. The easy level of taqwa. This is the great goal, the Shaykh says, and he finishes with this. He says, this is the great goal of which a person achieves according to the amount of deeds from fulfilling the commands of Allah Jalla wa Ala and keeping away from his prohibitions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the magnificent and the most high, the mighty, to grant us and favor us and give us the ability to implement a taqwa purely for his sake. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward the dear brothers and sisters who listen to these lessons, and the dear brothers and sisters who are behind the scenes, who you don't see, organizing these lessons. May Allah reward them with a great good reward. And may Allah reward our Shaykh for compiling these beneficial lessons of tarbiyah from the month of Ramadan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illallah anta astaghfiruka wa atubu alayk wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad.